Well, please join me now in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5. We're in this sermon series through Hebrews. Today's message we're calling By This Time. And the point is this, that we all should be growing more and more in Christ with the time that God has given us. Well, it's the football season. I like it. You know, having lived overseas, one of the nice things about these now decades back in America, I like football season. Just having football on in the background on a Saturday when it comes to college football, it's just nice to have it in the background. So right now, preseason time, it's fun. And you guys know about me that I am a fan, but I'm not a fanatic. I know that sports really don't matter. But one thing as a fan that's frustrating is when you have the excitement of a new player, maybe through recruitment in college football or in the draft in pro football, it's very disappointing when a much hyped player fails to deliver. When they come on the team, you're thinking, this will be the difference maker on my team at last, and then that player fails to put in the effort to become an elite player. But at the end of the day, it just doesn't matter. You do know that, by the way, right? Sports don't matter. Your fantasy team is a fantasy. It doesn't matter. If you find yourself furious about something going on, that doesn't matter. I certainly hope you're not gambling on sports. That's a great way to wreck yourself and wreck your family. Don't ever bet on any kind of thing. Don't bet on anything, but certainly not a game. So I bring all that up to come to this point. So here's the question. I know we're disappointed in players that don't develop, but here's a question for you. Has your spiritual development been a disappointment? When God drafted you onto his team, saved you. When God saved you, put you into his family, have you failed to live up to your potential in Christ? Have you failed to grow as a disciple of Jesus? Should you be farther along by now in your walk with Christ? How should you be serving now? How should you be having an impact now after all this time? This is the point of Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. It's a strong challenge to Christians who should be farther along than they are by this time. So with that, let's go into our text, Hebrews 5, verse 11. About this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So the writer of Hebrews here clearly is expressing disappointment with some in his congregation, these first readers of the book of Hebrews. They are far too weak. Some of them are being tempted to drift away from faith in Christ, to drift into unfaithfulness. They're struggling at a very key area of their lives. In fact, if you notice with me, there already have been two strong warning passages so far in our work, in our walk through Hebrews. In chapter 2, strong warning. Chapter 4, strong warning. And the strongest of the warnings in the book of Hebrews is coming up next Sunday in Hebrews chapter 6. This congregation, as he writes them, far too weak, and as we're going to see today, far too lethargic and lazy. So clearly for us, we're going to see today that God expects you and me to make spiritual progress with the time that he gives us. Now we're going to go through this passage with me asking you a series of questions. Here's the first question. Are you progressing in biblical knowledge? Are you progressing in biblical knowledge? Back into verse 11. About this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Do you notice here with me that the passage begins with a complaint, with a criticism? Do you hear it? It's a rebuke. The writer of Hebrews is saying this, I have things that I need to teach you, but you can't handle it. And it's actually worse than that. There appears to be a time when they could have handled it, but notice here, they have become dull of hearing. Something's happened in the passage of time. They're less eager to know and understand and apply the Word of God. They've become dull of hearing. They've become sluggish. Now, what is it that he wants to teach them when he says you can't handle it? Well, we've seen him teach so many things here in the letter to these Hebrews. We've seen him talk about how Jesus is greater than the angels, greater than the prophets, even Moses. And we've been in a season lately walking through chapters where we're seeing him talk about how Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament priests. Jesus is the ultimate high priest, and he's not among the Levites we've seen, but he's from this mysterious, wonderful, superior priesthood, this one named Melchizedek. And so he's been teaching them there, pulling from Genesis 14 and from Psalm 110. All this is going on, but he pauses. He's got more he's going to go back into in chapter 7, but he pauses for a long pause to rebuke them because he says, you can't handle these very basic things that I'm trying to teach you. Verse 11, you have become dull of hearing. So I want to pause here and ask you this question for application. What's the trend in your spiritual life? What's the trend? Over the last 12 months, if you think about the last 12 months, what was the trend in your life? Were you growing in Christ over the last 12 months, or have you been declining in your walk with Jesus over the last 12 months? And if God were to give you another 12 months ahead, what will happen in the 12 months ahead with the time he gives you? Are you going to make spiritual progress with Christ, or are you going to go backwards? We know this. You can either grow stronger or you can grow weaker over time. Our love for Jesus can grow hotter over time, or our love for Jesus can grow colder over time. You can grow to become more like Jesus in every area of your life, or over time you can become less like Jesus. Hear with me, there is no neutral. None of us in the room can say, now this is good enough for me. I think I've arrived at a maturity level. I don't aspire to anything more than this with Jesus. This is where I remain. That would be a serious error. Those who know Christ recognize that we are to be perpetually maturing. Yes, struggling, falling short many times, but getting up in the grace of God and pursuing Him to always be maturing, to have more understanding, to be more alive, more alert, more responsive to the Spirit, to be more like Jesus. But in the case of these Hebrews and those in their community, they had grown weaker. As evidenced by their inability to grasp spiritual truths, they'd become dull, meaning they had become lethargic. They'd become lazy spiritually. And notice with me, it was not an intellectual problem, it was a spiritual problem. This is not a matter of their intelligence or lack of intelligence. This is a matter of spiritual laziness. At one time, apparently, they had greater spiritual hunger, but now they've come into a spiritual slump. We could say it this way, they have become lazy listeners. So as a pastor, you know something of the job that I'm called to do. I'm doing part of the job right now. Studied all week to preach to you. Other things are happening during the week as well. I love meeting one-on-one with people for discipleship. That's a great joy as well. But a huge part of the role is to study in order to preach faithfully in moments like this. Now, I understand this. Not every passage is as simple as another passage, but I'm committed to keep moving, not let us get bogged down, explain as best as I can. Not every passage we know is as emotionally inspiring as some other passages, right? Some are just more fun topics. I know that in study. I know that in delivery. You know that in listening. So I'm bringing faithfulness to the Word. That's my goal every week. And you need to be bringing something as well, right? You want to bring your attention to this as well. So don't be too quick to be one who says this, you know, I didn't get anything out of that. Now, by the way, this is a very nice congregation. You've never said that to me. It's wonderful. I don't want anybody to think, somebody must be tearing into Jim. He's up here defending himself. No, you've been nothing but gracious and kind and encouraging. But if in your mind you have a Sunday when you think, I didn't get anything out of that. Don't be too quick. Don't be too quick to say that. And don't be too quick to say, that went over my head. Again, granted, some Sundays I preach better than other Sundays. Did you know that? I know that. In fact, did you know I preach better in one of the three services than the other two every week? You say, tell me which service that is. I'll go to that one. It changes every week. I can't tell when the other pastors preach. They talk about it. Like, I felt like I preached better at this one versus that one. It changes every week. Sometimes 8 o'clock, that probably is the best. Sometimes 11 o'clock's the best. I don't know. I'm probably not the best one to judge it, but I'm aware sometimes I'm better than others. But I'm confident of this by the grace of God that I bring enough every Sunday to faithfully bring the Word, that if you lean in as well, then that you'll seek to understand the Word of God so that you can apply the Word of God in your life. We're both to bring something here. The writer of Hebrews said to them, his congregation, they'd become dull of hearing, apathetic, not wanting to engage it. So the question is this: what kind of heart are you bringing to these times in the Word? Don't be dull of hearing. Don't succumb to spiritual laziness. Don't lazily listen. Ask God to increase your appetite and your attention to God's Word. Now the rebuke continues in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. So here's another reminder for us. Time does not guarantee maturity. Time may age us, but it doesn't mature us. Time will make us older, but it doesn't necessarily make you more obedient to Christ, more vibrant as a disciple. Rather, it's what you do with the time that God gives you that will determine if you're progressing and growing in Christ or if you're moving in the opposite direction. So let me exhort you, as I've done my own heart all week, grow in Christ. Grow stronger. Grow more Christ-like. Yield more fully to Him. Everything, yield to Christ. Shine brighter for Christ. Ephesians 5:15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Listen, making the most of your time because the days are evil. If you make the most of your time as an immature Christian will be a very short season of your life. Notice with me verse 12, that contrast between milk and solid food. What a clear and compelling analogy, spurring us on to grow. Paul used the same language when he wrote to the Corinthians. He said this in 1 Corinthians 3:1, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, listen, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it, and even now, you're not yet ready. So he brings up babies here. And babies are adorable, they're cute. Our youngest grandchild is under 2 months old, and she's cute. This is Annie, and we love little Annie, and she's awesome. In fact, this past week, she turned over for the first time. It's a little early, so we jokingly say, look how advanced she is, you know. Hard turning over. Clearly great parenting, great grandparenting, clearly, that she's doing that. Surely a sign of greatness if you're already rolling over, you know. And we're joking about that. But Annie, she's on a diet of 100% milk, as is appropriate. We'd be terrible family members if we're like, hey, what's wrong with you? You're just drinking milk. Get with it. There's a lot of good stuff out here. But no, we don't rush little babies. This is what they drink. It's the appropriate food for that stage in life. But soon enough, will come a baby food stage, and a whole lot of different flavors enter in. But then with teeth calm and then a more mature digestive system, then this whole world of textures and flavors and foods from around the world are available. And so it's appropriate to start with the milk, and you would expect progression. Wouldn't it be sad if you had a child who moves on into adulthood and they would tell you, but all I eat is milk? What if we had a man walk into worship day with a sippy cup with milk in there? He'd say, no, there's coffee in here. Okay, we'll give you that. But we think that's milk. You've got freedom to do that. But we would just say that would be very, very sad for someone not to progress. That's really the point of this. He's telling them, you're still acting like infants, and you should be a grown man or woman by now. Listen, of course, even with new believers, we don't rush new believers. But we do want new believers to grow, and so we try to come alongside a new believer to get them moving, help them understand this is the Christian life. You don't just believe. Now you begin to grow in Christ. We love to sit down with new believers. In fact, one of the key things we want to do with a brand new Christian is help them to self-feed from the Bible. That's a key move that'll pay off their entire life. If we can teach them how to open the Bible, feed themselves from the Scriptures, that's going to pay off. That Word of God's going to go from milk, and over time it will be meat for them, solid food for them to grow. I'm convinced of this, that with teenagers at least, they have an intellectual ability, and with adult believers, the time as an immature believer doesn't have to last long. It doesn't certainly have to take years. I think for most teenagers and adults who come to faith, they can be ready for meat pretty quickly. So what we're going to help them understand at the beginning is the foundation of their relationship with God. And by the way, we never get past the beauty of the gospel, that we're sinners, that Jesus died in our place, he was raised from the dead. We never get past this. Saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone. So we want to help the new believer understand what happened to them and who are they trusting in. But they're going to progress, and we'll begin to teach them from the scriptures the nature of who God is. And some wonderful things you'll discover as you look at the scriptures. Our God, among other things, he is a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How amazing is that? Maybe didn't know that at the beginning, but these great treasures of the Word of God. Another thing we're going to help the new believer grow into is new habits in following Jesus. You know, in those years when you're not following Jesus, you developed a lot of bad habits, a lot of bad thinking, and you have to unlearn that, and you have to cast that off, that you walk in a brand new way. So we're just making the point that when someone comes to faith, they start with milk, but we're helping them as rapidly as possible without rushing them into growth. But the rebuke continues in our text, verse 13 and 14. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child, but solid food is for the mature. So believer, do not remain unskilled with God's word. Don't make it your goal, I'm just going to live on milk. I want to remain a child. No, get into the Word of God. Read it. We've talked a lot about it lately. It's okay. Listen to it. Schedule unhurried time with Him. To not do so means you are dull of hearing. I don't want it. Can I tell you, it's normal to be tempted not to read the Bible. I've shared with you many times before, I have that temptation every day. Every day I do read the Bible. But it's not unusual to have a temptation like, well, I don't know that I feel like it. And if you feel like, I don't know that I feel like reading the Bible, that's normal. But only an infant in the faith would believe that temptation. Only one who aims to stay immature with it, I don't feel like it, therefore I won't. Do you know there are hundreds of temptations you have during a given week, maybe in a given day? And you can't make it your life, well, I feel a temptation, I'm going to give in to the temptation. So when you have this very basic temptation, I don't feel like opening the Bible, I'd rather watch another news story or another sports highlight, I get it. But you're to grow up, and I'm not going to obey that impulse. I'm going to get into the Word of God, lest I be unskilled after all this time with God's Word. You're going to read it, and we'll teach you how to do that. So here's a question. If God gives you another 2 years, at the end of two more years, will you still be saying, man, I've just never gotten it together to be consistent in reading the Bible myself? If that's been you for all these years, I never have gotten it together, will you go another year? Will you go another 2 years saying, I just never have gotten it together? You'll be stunted in spiritual growth another 2 years. Listen, make the determination, I will grow. I want to grow in biblical knowledge by getting into the Word. Second question this morning is this. First of all, are you growing in biblical knowledge? Second question, are you progressing in spiritual impact? Are you progressing in spiritual impact? That's verse 11. By this time, you ought to be teachers. Not only have these original readers not grown in their ability to understand truth, to even want truth, they had not progressed in their usefulness. Look what's expected of them. By now, the writer of Hebrews is saying, you should be teaching this. You should be passing this on to others. You should be co-laborers with me and getting this good information about Jesus out to others. By now, you ought to be teachers. But instead of progressing to proclaiming this with me, you have deteriorated and you need to be taught all over again the basics from the beginning. So these first readers were not progressing as expected of believers. What would you think about somebody who went to a swimming school and they stayed in the swimming school for decades? You think that's pretty odd that you would need that much instruction in swimming? But imagine a person who did all that and still, after all that time, couldn't teach another person how to swim. You'd question the swimming school. You'd question the swimmer. You think after all that time, they ought to be able to leave the baby pool and push out into the deep. Decades in a swimming school, probably should be trying out the high dive by now, not remain in the arm floaties. That would be embarrassing. But these Hebrews, still hanging around the shallow end spiritually, unable to swim in the deep, unable to help other people learn to swim spiritually. So let's remember, everything that we take in spiritually, in sermons like this, in your life group, other studies you do, your personal time in God's Word, all of that is for you, but it's not just for you. It's for other people that need to be learning from you the things that God has been putting in you. 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Hear that again. The things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Do you hear that? I'm going to take things in. I'm going to benefit from it. I'm going to grow from it. But I need to give it to others who will then give it to others. This is what we do with the truth of God's Word. Now listen, everybody's not gifted to be a teacher in a public way or to preach in a public way. But by this time, you should be passing on effectively what you've been learning. Something's wrong if there's no growth to where you're more useful in helping others understand the truth of the gospel. So let me ask you these diagnostic questions as you assess where you are spiritually right now in your growth. First question, can you confidently share the gospel with someone? First question, can you confidently share the gospel with another person? If somebody were to come to you, a neighbor, hey, would you tell me how I could be right with God? If you're stumped, like, I don't know where I'd begin. Why is that? I mean, that's the very basic. That's how you came to faith, understanding your sin, understanding that Jesus is the perfect one who died for you, was raised from the dead. That you couldn't walk somebody through that, that should be alarming to you. And I don't say that to shame you, but what's happened? I think there's a misuse of time. This many years for many, this many decades maybe you've known Jesus, but you've never learned how to share with all the opportunities you've had. By the way, you hear me share the gospel every Sunday in a sermon. I've already done it once or twice now, probably again at the end. You're hearing it. We have these wristbands that we've had now for years that give you a cheat sheet. There are these prompts on there. Here are the steps. I could lead somebody through just one method of sharing this eternal gospel. We have a web page that could coach you through the basics of sharing the faith. It's all there. So if you say, today, I don't know where to start, why is that? Here's another question. Does the idea of teaching biblical truth thrill you or frighten you? You think, oh no, I wouldn't be thinking I could teach anybody something from the Bible. That's just, I don't think I could do that. Why is that? Or here's another question. Do you feel equipped to teach the Bible to the kids of the church? And if not, why not? I would lay the fault to your use of time and attention. You've made choices with your time. You've given your attention to lots of other things. If you can't share the gospel and you can't teach a basic Bible lesson with somebody else after all this time, he says you should be teachers. It's a matter of the use of time. So let me go back to sports a minute, and I'm not ragging on sports fans. I am a sports fan. But if you know your sport really well and you get angry about your team when they don't do well, you're passionate about it, you know all the stats of the athletes on the roster of your team, but you don't know how to share the gospel, that just screams to you, you've been spending your time on far inferior things. Watch football with me, but don't neglect spiritual progress. You must know how to do these things. This is a challenge. So by this time, you should be teaching. Can I tell you a practical move you could make? Yeah. I got to get moving spiritually. I need to learn to do these things. A great training ground for you, in addition to your own personal reading and sermons like this and your life group, you could step into serving in the life of the church. You're going to grow a lot by serving. In our children's ministry this time of year, we always have a few additional needs. We have some openings. And by the way, if you have kids, we're not going to throw anybody in there. We do background checks and screening and all that. But somebody who says, you know, I need to take that next step of serving, that's a great place to learn. You're going to be on a team with others. It's not just you. You're going to learn to serve. One of the big things when you say, I'm going to serve, it steps you out of a comfort zone into responsibility. But some people, I fear, have the thought, you know, I don't want responsibility. I don't want people to need me every Sunday. I want to just be able to come and go as I please. Do you know who doesn't want responsibility? Children. Children don't want responsibility. Don't give me something I need to do. Don't give me something where I've got to be there when I may not want to be there. So another step of growth could be, you know what? I'm going to step out of comfort. I'm going to step into commitment. And I'm going to be part of a team that pours it out, even in the realm of children. You can let us know on a connection card or go to our serve page on our website. Say, hey, I'm willing to step into service. So we've been asking questions. Are you progressing in biblical knowledge? Are you progressing in ministry service, a spiritual impact? Here's the last question. Are you progressing in Christ likeness? Again, our text, verse 13. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Do you see good and evil are on the line? Your progress in sanctification, growing spiritually, what's on the line here? Your ability to navigate in life what's good or evil. You need the Word of God. You need to progress in the Word of God through constant practice of listening and reading and understanding and applying the Word of God in every area of your life that you better discern what's good and evil in this life. So I'll ask you, can you distinguish between good and evil in this world? Can you tell the difference between what is foolish and what is wise from God's perspective as you navigate life here? Do you recognize truth from error? The world operates from this philosophy. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes. The world operates from this thought, who are you to judge me? Anything I want to do is fine. But the disciple of Jesus asked a different question. Lord, what did you say? And whatever you said in your word, I want to know it so that I can assess and act appropriately toward the things that are good and away from the things that are evil. So do you have the ability by this time to distinguish good from evil? If not, humble yourself. Repent of wherever your attention has been other than in forward progress. Ensure that Jesus is the first love of your life, the first pursuit of your life. Ask him for fresh zeal for him and for his word. Are you maturing in Christ or are you just getting older? Immaturity is big. It's a big problem. In the life of a church, as we see here, the writer of Hebrews, spiritual immaturity is a disappointment in the church. But spiritual immaturity left lingering is a danger to the church. In fact, if you allow yourself to remain spiritually immature for year after year, you're a danger to yourself. You'll wreck yourself. You're a danger to your family. If you won't grow in Jesus, you're a danger to your spouse. You're going to be a very fleshly, unpleasant person, a very ungodly person towards your spouse. You're doing harm in your home if you won't grow in Christ. But let's talk about the church. It's a sad phenomenon in many churches where people can languish in decades of spiritual immaturity, dull spiritually, lazy spiritually, and they can get away with it year after year if the church is growing and seems healthy and everybody's happy. But the spiritually immature will eventually show themselves in several times when sacrifice is called for. The spiritually immature will show themselves. Well, no, I didn't sign on to serve. I'm here to be served. I'm here even to control other people, maybe. We'd say that would be a sign of a lack of health, or when change is needed. Listen, we got to reach more people. Let's flex some things, not flex the Bible, but flex some things. Whoa, no, that makes me uncomfortable. My comfort's more important than the mission. And certainly when adversity comes from the culture, from within, that's when the immature will show themselves and be very divisive, like the Corinthians were. Paul had to get after the Corinthians to grow because they were so divisive in their immaturity. So prolonged immaturity, it's a result of sin, and it leads to more sin. So somebody might ask, well, how do I grow? I see the need to grow. I see that I've stagnated. What are some steps to maturity? Here we go. I'll do these fast. First of all, set the right goal for yourself. Set the right goal. Here's the goal. I want to be more like Jesus. Philippians 3 says this, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those who are mature think this way. Set the right goal. Secondly, eat the right food. Be in the Word of God. It will be milk to you. It will be meat to you. Be in the Word of God as consistently as you can with the goal of understanding and applying it to every area of your life. Set the right goal, eat the right food, and connect with the right people. You want to grow in Jesus? Get yourself around growth oriented Christians, people moving forward with Christ. Be careful of those going in the opposite. Love them. Try to bring them with you. But you want to be around those who want to grow with you. And then again, get active in serving. By now, you ought to be teachers. By now, you ought to be serving. Make yourself available to serve in the life of church, and you will grow. So I'll say this as we get ready to go. It's okay not to progress in other areas of your life. You know, I've got areas of my life where I don't aspire for any more growth. One of those is the realm of math. I don't care to grow anymore in mathematics. I'm sorry for you math lovers, but I peaked in high school. My senior year in high school, I took Algebra 3 Trigonometry, and my teacher was wrong. I've never needed it. She was wrong. Now, some of you in your careers, you might need it, but I haven't needed it. I peaked there. I'll never study math again. I'm proud of it. No, I'm not proud of it, but that's true. It's just the truth. Athletics. You can tell I peaked some time ago in athletics. And so now I just have a simple goal. I want to be healthy, take care of myself, and not get hurt. That's kind of my goal when it comes to sports. I'll watch sports. I know my age. And another one, just an example, I don't aspire to be a better gardener. I peaked as a gardener in the 1990s when we lived in Alabama. And as long as Kroger stays in business, I'll be all right. I'm okay with that. So I'm just telling you, I've put it in coast in a number of areas of my life, but spiritually, I dare not do that, and you dare not do that. We can coast in other areas, but I must have more of Jesus. I want to be more faithful. I want to trust Him more. I want to love Him more. I want to introduce more people to Him. I want to handle the Word of God better, don't you? This is what we're called to do. So today, what do we do with our time? First of all, today, if you've recognized that you need Jesus to be your Savior, and there is no other Savior, you do need Him. But if you see it today, trust in Jesus. Acknowledge your sin before Him. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Recognize that Jesus, the perfect one, died in your place. Be amazed by that grace. Jesus, you died for me, and you were raised from the dead. That's amazing. I put all of my faith in you, Jesus. Take over my life. Thank you for cleansing of my sin. Do that with your time. Don't put that off. And then, believer, grow. With the time God gives you, grow to know Jesus better, to become skilled with the Word, to be conformed to the likeness of Christ, to be more holy. Every area of your life under the Lordship of Jesus, keep growing. Let's pray together. Lord, we have heard you. This passage has spoken to us that we not become dull, spiritually lethargic, lazy, slumbering. We don't want that. Lord, forgive us for how we've not used time well. Even years can go by for many. No progress. God, forgive us for that. But Lord, we respond now as your Spirit has alerted us. And we want to keep progressing. No matter how long we've known you, we want to keep growing. Lord, do that work of grace. Keep sanctifying us until you call us home. Lord, even now, save those who are just today awakened to their need for a Savior. God, bring them all the way into salvation. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.